God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 11th day of September 2007, and you are listening to a special Tuesday evening broadcast as we continue with our annual missions conference. The speaker tonight, our missionary to England, Brother Tom Gritz, being involved in what God is doing. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, even in England, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you for listening.
If you have your Bible with you this evening, take to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38 to start with this evening. Now, some of you know who I am. It's been a while since I've been back, and some of you don't know who I am. My wife is not with me tonight. Of course, she's back in Missouri. We got into the country about the 1st of April, and we'll be going back in January back to England. All our children are grown and have flown the coop, and I tell you what, I'm enjoying the empty nest syndrome. It's fun. Especially when your children are 5,000 miles away. But you know what? They still call and ask, Dad, can you help me with this? You know, still happens. Yeah. But it's great to see what the children are doing. Right now, Sally, our oldest daughter, she is working at Baptist Bible at the missions office there at the college. She works with Brother Dennis Jennings there at the missions office. She's secretary. Then Chad, our oldest son, he's in McDonough, Georgia, south of Atlanta. He works for Enterprise Car Rental Company, and I like that because as his dad, I get half-price rental cars. I tell you, I've driven some nice cars. Then my son Greg, he and his wife, they go to Seminole Baptist Church there in Springfield, Missouri. He's a truck driver. He's in and out, but they're always home on the weekends. Then my daughter Carrie, she's married. She and her husband are just moved to Independence, Missouri, Eastside Baptist Church. He's the new youth director at the church there. And then our youngest, TJ, Thomas James, he lives in Springfield, Missouri. He's married. His wife's already finished Baptist Bible College. He's got about another couple of semesters. And they're planning on being missionaries to Spain. And they also attend Seminole Baptist Church there in Springfield, Missouri. So that's what they're all doing. And then Mrs. Gritz and I, we have 6 grandchildren with 2 more on the way. So that's what's going on. Also, most of you know, I am a Native American. I am a Cherokee Indian. I was born here in Oklahoma, but I live most of my life in Missouri. And that's about all I can say. I was born here, and then Mom and Dad took us to Missouri. We live around Springfield most of our years. But God's been good to us there because God used me, and God called me even from Missouri. And God can use you and call you from Oklahoma. Because the way it starts is to participate. You know, I never did be one just to stand on the side. I never was the one just to, I want to watch. Well, you know, sometimes you say, I'm going to go watch, but it just doesn't fit me. I have to be involved. I have to participate. I want to be a part. I'm not a big games person, but once they get started, I get excited. Now, I'm one of these that, you know, I mean, really get, we had our missions retreat the 1st of August. There in Fayetteville, and they had a game show, and you're supposed to be able to choose an envelope or a bag. Now, they didn't call my name, so I never got, but I got involved with it. I mean, they would come up and say, now, you can either have the envelope or the bag, and they were standing there, and I was sitting on the front row, and I'd holler at the top of my voice, take the envelope! Another missionary, take the bag! I mean, we got involved. I mean, they were standing there going, oh, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You know, get involved. So many times we get involved in a lot of other things, but we really never get involved with God. There are Christians here tonight that probably really aren't involved with God. They're here because they just don't want the pastor thinking they're bad Christians. They're here just because they don't want everybody to think, well, you know, they're having a missions conference, so I better go so they won't think I don't like missionaries. You know. There are people here who really are not participating. And God wants us to participate. God wants us to be involved. God does not want us to just to sit here and be on the sidelines and say, let's just cheer the pastor on. No, he says, you help the pastor. You be involved with what's going on in your church. You be involved in giving of yourself. And when you begin to do that, you find out, hey, this is exciting. This is interesting. One of the things I wanted to do in all my life was travel. And I tell you what, I've done that now. I've seen a lot of the world. And I enjoy being able to do that. But that's just part of participating. And some of the things that God gives us, there's benefits in serving God. Now, the world uses a biblical plan. They show you there's a purpose, there's a plan, and there's profit. This past weekend, the holiday weekend, they're showing you all these. Now, I'm not against all these charities. So don't start saying, well, Pastor Gritz doesn't like charities. But they show you all the things that are going. People who are in bad situations. People who have health issues. People who have family issues. People who are just in dire straits. And the world says, look at this. Look at them. Look at their lives. Just think of you're not in that situation, but put yourself in that situation. Look what they're going on. Now they said, now here's what we'll want you to do. See, they show you the purpose. And then what they do, now this is what the plan that we have. We want you to be involved in giving. We want you to be able to give $5 a month. Just $5 a month. And you can make a total difference to this family. Or you can make a total difference to this person. You can make a total difference to this child. And you'll be reap the benefits of knowing that you have done something great. That you've gotten involved. That you've been able then to communicate, and that child will write to you. Those people will let you know what's going on. Now in England, I think we have a lady here from England tonight. Where are you at? Raise your hand. Now I'm going to say a few things. They're animal lovers. Yes, they love their animals. I mean, they love their animals almost as much as they love their children, even more. There is a commercial in England. You see these poor dogs, they've been abused. And you see the picture of them, they're sitting there, they're shaking, these poor little dogs. And they're saying, these dogs have been abused and they don't have a home, they've been left out of the cold. But you can give £5 a month to this dog. And that will help us to rescue that dog, to put it in a home, to get it fed, to give it all the medication it needs, and it will write to you. I'm not kidding. This dog will write to you, and it will tell you how it is so happy that you have given your money so that he could have a decent meal, a decent place to sleep, and have it. You know, they show the dog bouncing around, you know, his tongue hanging out, you know. And people sit there and go, oh, I can do that. You see, we're moved sometimes, but we're moved for the wrong thing. Now see, God has that too. In Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now God gives us a purpose. God gives us a plan, and God says, here's the profit in doing it. The purpose is, first of all, what he saw. You see, what they do in the advertisement, they make it so that when you see that, you can feel it. And so many times we come to things like this, and we come because, well, we need to, or the pastor always tells us we need to come, but we don't come, but we never feel what God is seeing. When he looked at the multitudes, it says there, he was moved with compassion. You see, when they put up those pictures of those poor children, they put up those pictures of those poor animals, they're playing on your emotions. They're hoping that you look at that and you begin to have a tear in your eye. Now, I don't cry at too many movies. I don't like to watch those girly movies. Not the bad ones, but don't want to watch the bad ones, but the good ones. We have a lady in our church in England. She is very tender-hearted. She can watch a cartoon, and if something happens to the cartoon character, she'll begin to cry. She just feels for them. When she was a teenager, she used to come over and she'd begin, literally, we'd watch a movie, and if it's a sad movie, she's still there going, she's going crazy. She had an ability to feel. But see, we come to church and sometimes we think we're not supposed to have feelings when we get here. No. You got to let God, the Holy Spirit, begin to work in your heart and life to make you realize the importance of missions. There is a purpose. God looked at this, at the multitudes, and he was moved to compassion. He was moved to do something about it. He was moved to be a part of their lives. You know what ministry really is? He's a minister. He's in the ministry. But so are you in the ministry. The ministry is giving of ourselves to others. Is giving myself to somebody else. You know, there's one thing I'm trying to help with the church in England. I mean, we're doing great. We're averaging 75 to 80 on Sunday mornings. We're averaging about 50 on Sunday nights, and we average about 35 on Wednesday nights. And, you know, and it's doing. But one of the things I'm trying to make them realize that in church, we're also friends. Now, what do friends do? When friends get together, what do? They talk. And talk. But what they're doing when they're talking, they're beginning to share. They're beginning to really begin to share of their lives with friends. And God says that as He's our friend, we should learn how to share with God anything of the heartaches and the struggles of our lives with Him. And when we begin to do that, we should then have friends in this church that we truly begin to share our lives with each other. And when we truly begin to share our lives with each other, then the church begins to understand the need of other peoples in our lives. You see, we are a people that we want to do it ourselves. We're self-reliant. And as a Christian, you cannot be self-reliant. You have to rely upon God. God knows what's best for you, what's good for you. God knows just exactly who you are, what you are. I'm who I am. I was preaching to a bunch of Native Americans, Indians, in June. And I was talking about, you know, you're who you are. You're an Indian. That's what God made you. I said, I cannot be anything but an Indian. I said, I would like to grow a mustache. I'd like to grow a mustache like your preacher. But I can't do it. But if I did, I'd look like a Mexican. And that's not who I am. God wants me who I am. I'm not going to be like him, or I can't be like him. God wants you who you are. God says, I made you the way you are. Now listen, don't worry. I know who you are. And I can use you any way that you are. A jeweler, when he takes an old rough diamond and he puts that little thing in his eye and he looks at that diamond, what he sees is the possibilities. He sees how he can take away all the stuff around it to make a diamond that's worth or priceless. All of you are diamonds. You're jewels. And God knows your worth. We may not think we're worthy, but a lot of times that's where we need to get to so God can begin to take away all the old stuff to make us priceless. The only way we find out is when we begin to participate. When we see the world as God sees the world. He saw them as sheep faint. You know what faint means? They just quit. Not they were so hungry. Not that they just fell. They fainted. They just quit. Life is not worth living. I'm having a struggle. When you do not have a purpose in life, you will quit. All of us need to have a purpose. God gives us a purpose. And when we begin to see the purpose that God has of looking out and seeing the lost souls as they are, we need to begin to look at out in this in the community and not just see somebody who's in the way, but see somebody who is a lost soul. That's what I mean. When we begin to understand each other as friends, we begin to understand the needs of our friends. We begin to meet the needs of those friends. The love begins to even grow more in the church. And then not only does it begin to grow in church, then it will go outside the church because we'll begin to do that with our neighbors. You know, how many got great neighbors? How many of you wish your neighbors would move? You know. You know, you got to do something for your neighbor. You know, you got to go take a pie to them. Now you may say, well, what in the world are you talking about? You see, if you want to know the need of your neighbor, you have to make yourself available to him. We cannot just sit in our homes and say, they ought to know I'm a Christian. Now, how do they know you're a Christian? What kind of Christian? A Christian that is just shut off to the world? Or a Christian that cares. You got to go over and do something for your neighbor without him even asking you. That's a different concept, isn't it? My neighbor next door to me, when had an elderly couple when we first moved there. Well, her husband passed away, Mrs. Bourne. Well, she couldn't get out and mow the grass, and her children couldn't come over because they lived south part of the country, and so they didn't get up all the time to mow her grass. And I knew she felt bad about it, so instead of going over there and say, Mrs. Bourne, I'll mow your grass, because I knew she would say, oh, no, don't do that. It'll be taken care of. Every week I mowed mine, I just picked up my mower and put it over the fence and went over there and mowed hers anyway. You see, when we begin to really be involved with people's lives, we do see the purpose. But if we never get involved, we never participate in anybody else's life, we say, what's the purpose? He said, I see who they really are. I see those people as they are. I need to be involved in their lives to make a difference in their lives, to give them a purpose and a hope in life, to really know that Christianity really does work, that Christianity is worth having, that Christianity is something that's just not just said, but it's lived and alive. The plan. He said, the purpose is the lost in verse 36. The plan is for laborers in verse 37 and 38. He says there, he says, then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, where is he going to go? He's going to come to Central Baptist Church. I forget who said it already tonight. Said, wouldn't it be great if somebody from our own group, our own church, surrendered to missions? Well, that's what God does. God's not going to universities. God's not going to any of the Bible colleges to look for somebody. God's not looking at the workplace. God is coming to the church. And this is where he's going to find his labors. The plan he has of them getting involved. We have to be willing to say, God, here I am. Send me, use me, just to be the one. Just to be the one. But today, so many parents, Christian parents even, are not willing their children to leave. They don't want any of their children to be involved in the ministry. They don't, even in their own lives, to try to help them to go that way. You know, my wife and I, we're here for this 9 months. And this 9 months, we're being grandparents for the first time. Now, the oldest grandchild is 3 years old. The youngest grandchild is 18 months old. And I never had a chance to be I don't even have pictures of my grandchildren. I'm still a novice grandparent. But you know what? I'm taking every advantage when they're there. Just to be with them. Just to hug them. Just to tell them I love them. You know, I like my little grandson, Sonny. I love you. I love you. I like it. But we're going to have to leave. And we're going to be away from them for 5,000 miles away. And I hear of parents who cry if their children are going to move 2 hours away. Oh, my little baby is going. They're leaving 2 hours away. I'll see them every other week. Now, I'm not trying to minimize that or make you feel bad. But I'm making you understand a lot of times the reason why we don't see people involved in missions and ministry, parents and people are not encouraging them. Parents, it'd be something different if you got down on your knees and start to say, God, would you call my son or my daughter? Let me say this even. You adults sit there and say, yes, we ought to get and pray for the young people. Let's get to pick on the young people. God will even use you. Now, if I'm wrong, you can tell me even out loud. With the Baptist Bible Fellowship, they have a program called for short-term missions. Now, short-term missions is that you can go and do 2 years. You need to go out and raise a bit of support and have your pastor can help you through that and know what to do. But you, even you as adults, if God is dealing with your heart, there's a way for you to go and be a part. There's right now a man, 60 years old, who's going through the program, and he's going to go to the mission field for 2 years to be a support to missionaries and to those nationals in that country. So many times we think, well, God, you can't use... Yes, God will use us. He has the plan. Our plan is all of us to be involved. To get involved in the work. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. It's because we see the purpose, but we're not moved with compassion. Oh, let somebody else do that. That's the reason why we support you, Brother Gritz. And I'm glad you do. Man, if you didn't, I wouldn't be able to do, and we couldn't be able to see the blessings that are going on at a moment in time. But pray for us, too, for the fact of the rate of exchange. Excuse me. Now, it doesn't affect the English as it does me, because all my funds come in U.S. dollars. Then I have to transfer that into English pounds. And the way it is now, it's 2 to 1. It takes $2 to buy 1 pound. So that means if I have $1,000, I exchange it, I only have 500 pounds. And a lot of the new missionaries that are coming, they have to rent homes, and they're having to pay between $1,300 to $1,500 dollars a month just to rent a house. Our gasoline is $8 a gallon. When I fill up my car, it costs me $150 to fill a 15-gallon tank. To go to McDonald's, just for my wife and I, $50. I'm glad I don't go to McDonald's that often anyway. But I'm saying this, that I'm there because God wants me to be there. God's going to take care of all of that for me. Because God called me. I saw the purpose. I was moved with compassion. And I'm going and I'm being a laborer that God wants me to be a laborer. And God's taking care of me. Does it look like God's taking care of me? He is. And He's going to take care of me when I go back. Because that's what God wants. I'm part of His plan. And folks, when you become part of God's plan, then there's the prophet. Take your Bible, if you would, over to John chapter 4. In verse 36, John chapter 4 and verse 36, he said, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he and the sower soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." God says, listen, there's profit. You're going to be able to reap. Reaping. The Bible talks about, of course, as we know, sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 9. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Folks, it's the fact that how much are you going to be involved? It's not just being a little bit involved with God. It's being involved all the way. It's just like even your missions money. God doesn't need your money. In fact, God doesn't want your money. Don't worry, preacher. I'll get around to it right. God doesn't even want your money. What He wants first of all and all, He wants your heart and your soul and your mind. The Bible says when we give our heart and soul and mind to God, then everything's His anyway. We have no problem of giving. We have no problem of giving out. We have no problem of doing. We have no problem of being involved. We have no problem when we're your heart, soul, and spirit all to God. There's a profit. There's fruit. There's fruit that comes along. He says here that fruit unto life eternal. Most of you, if you're putting back for retirement or you're getting close to retirement, is that retirement going to last? Well, I'm 54 years old myself. Excuse me. Yeah, 54. Am I? I was born in 53. I'm 54. And they always keep telling me, and even when I was growing up, like, you'll never get your Social Security. Well, at least my mom's getting it. But you know what? Those fruits may dwindle, but the fruits of God never will. God will give to us abundantly to the point where we are satisfied, enjoying, getting excited about God, realizing what God is doing to my life, that I can continue to want to be a part involved in Him. Paul, in the end of his ministry, at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 78, he says, I fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, and there's reward for him. If anybody could complain, Paul could have, but Paul did not. Usually people, you know, say, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing all right. I could complain, but you won't listen to me. Most people don't want to hear complaining. And Paul was the same way. He never complained. Because he knew his reward. He knew the profit of what he was doing. You see, we're instant gratification people. We want it right now. I want the pastor to get up and say my name. Not only am I have the church there in England, but also I'm the president of the Oxley Village Residents Association. I'm also executive director of the daycare center for older people. I'm the president of the Baptist Bible Fellowship. I'm the dean of students. I have some other things, organizations I'm involved with. I do things, but I don't do that just so that people can pat me on the back. I do it because it's going to be a profit for God. We get up and we say, okay, who will second this? And somebody will second it. I said, yeah, you just want your name in print. People just want to see themselves. They want somebody to heap it on them. Oh, what great things you have done. Oh, what wonderful thing. If that's all you're looking for, God doesn't want it. God wants you to do it because you know it's eternal profit with Him. Missions is something you can really be involved in. Because God gives us a purpose. They're lost. They're sheep without a shepherd. They've fainted. There's a plan that labors to go out, to really be involved and get involved in doing those things. You know, in England, there are two things that help see the work really begin to grow. Two things. The first thing is really funny, but it worked. We started singing during the offering. Everybody sing. We sing. We got about two or three courses that we sing. And we just started singing during the offering. And you know what? That increased people. That increased the offering. That increased their giving and their involvement. And just singing. Because you see, you realize that part of the service, we sing, we say we're worshiping the Lord, but also we're worshiping the Lord with the offering. And when we sing, what does God love? He loves a cheerful giver. And they actually begin to give more. The second thing the church began to grow is that when they got involved in giving out leaflets. Now, you may think I'm a heathen, but we don't have organized visitation. But what we do have is I challenged our folks. I said, we have all these leaflets. Now, we don't call them tracts. We call them leaflets. I said, we have all these leaflets. And we want you at any moment and any time that you want to do it, to take leaflets. And don't talk to anybody, but just leave a leaflet somewhere. Leave it on the grocery shelf. It was interesting. One of our ladies came back on a Wednesday night and said, I got a testimony. Yeah. She said, I was in the grocery store the other day, and I was picking up a tin of peas, and on the shelf was one of our leaflets. Hey, just leave it somewhere. Just leave it anywhere. Just leave it where people will see it. Just sit it there. You say, well, they'll throw it away. That's their problem, not yours. You're doing what you're supposed to do, of getting the word out. Just leave it anywhere. Leave it in the elevator. Leave it, I tell them, leave it in the taxi. Leave it in the bus. Leave it at the bus station. Leave it anywhere you want to leave it, that people can see it. And when they begin to do that, then they begin to see people in visiting the church. And then not only do they begin to see people visit the church, then they begin to see people saved because of the leaflets. And not only did they see them get saved, they saw them be baptized because of the leaflet. And you know what? They like getting out leaflets. And then what happened, because some of them began to give leaflets, now they're beginning to go on the streets and pass them out and talking to people. You see, folks, when we truly participate in what God wants us to do, He will enable us to accomplish it. What we need to do is say, God, You have a purpose. You have a plan. I want to be involved. And begin to enjoy the profits that God will give to us. But the only way you're going to do it is to participate. Sure, bow our heads in a word of prayer. Thank You, Lord, for this evening, and thank You for this opportunity of just being with this dear church, and a faithful church, and they've been faithful to our ministry, and I thank You for them. But I ask You, Father, there may be people here that have never really participated and got involved with missions. Maybe tonight they realize, that's what I need to do. I see what God has, the purpose He has for it. There are lost people. But we got to be involved in reaching those lost people and of giving ourselves, giving our lives, giving our money, and God be participating in it, and to begin to enjoy the blessings that will come because of just being what You want us to do, to have the purpose and be involved in the plan. May they participate. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our missionary to England, Brother Tom Gritz. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponkin Theater Building. Give us the chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you and thank you for listening.